You enjoy the good singing this morning, say amen.
Amen.
I appreciate it. It made me feel better. How about you? Amen. Am I ringing? I am ringing a little bit. See if you can fix me there, Brother James. I'd appreciate it. Take your Bible this morning. Turn with me to the book of Ruth just for a few minutes. Ruth chapter number 4. You'll find Ruth right between Judges and 1 Samuel. Ruth chapter number 4. I want to continue the spirit or the direction of the service this morning and just brag on him a little bit.
Amen.
Amen. That'd be all right with y'all? I just lift him up a little bit and talk about how wonderful he is. Amen. In Ruth chapter number 4, if you're there, say amen. Ruth chapter number 4. Hey, look, if you're not real familiar with your Bible, just look in the front of it and it'll tell you what page number you'll find the book of Ruth. And then it's only 4 chapters. So I want everybody looking at it this morning. Ruth chapter number 4. And I'm going to look at 2 verses of Scripture, I think. Let's see. Verse number 13. The Bible said, "So Boaz took Ruth, and she was his wife. And when he went into her, the Lord gave her conception, and she bare a son. And the women said unto Naomi, Blessed be the Lord, which hath not left thee this day without a kinsman, that is, that his name may be famous in Israel." Look at that 14th verse one more time. "And the women said unto Naomi, Blessed be the Lord, which hath not left thee this day without a kinsman, that his name may be famous in Israel." One of the greatest hymn writers of all times was P.P. Bliss. There we go. I'll get it right in a minute. And him and his wife were killed in a bad train wreck right around Christmas of 1876. He was on his way to join D.L. Moody in an evangelistic meeting. And among his personal effects was a paper with the words written on it, "My Redeemer." And somebody took those words and wrote that song, "I Will Sing of My Redeemer and His Wondrous Love to Me. On the cruel cross He suffered from the curse to set me free. Sing, oh sing of my Redeemer. With His blood He purchased me. On the cross He sealed my pardon and paid the debt and made me free."
Amen.
Amen. Amen. This morning for a few minutes I want to talk about my kinsman redeemer. My kinsman redeemer. How many of you are familiar with the book of Ruth? Quite a few. I think one of the prettiest books in the Bible, one of the prettiest pictures in the Bible of what Christ did for us. And I just want to look at the relation between this guy Boaz, who redeemed Ruth, in other words, bought her back. Amen? And that's what God did for you and I. He redeemed us. He repurchased us. You see, God created... I'm going to get sideways here, I think. But God created man. Adam and Eve put him in the garden, right? Everybody's with me on that. Man sinned. And that sin separated between God and man. God could no longer... Why? Because He's a holy God. And He's a just God. So He could no longer even look on man. He had to turn away from man. But one day Jesus came and became a human just like me and you, went to the cross. The Bible said the wages of sin is death. So you know what He did? He paid that debt for us. Amen. And He purchased us back that we might again have a relationship with God. Amen. That's what Jesus did for me. And I hope my friend at Home Depot will get a hold of that one of these days. Brother Tony came to the altar a while ago and said, "I'm praying for that guy." Amen. You know what? Whether he accepts it in this life or not, he will meet him. Amen. I want to talk about this Redeemer just for a few minutes. I was thinking last night, I sure miss Brother Steve Wester. He used to take his guitar and he would sing that song, "My Redeemer is faithful and true." That's what Job said. He said, "My Redeemer is faithful and true." I'm glad I have a faithful Redeemer. Amen. Now the redeemed aren't faithful. That's you and I. We're mess ups at best. I know the redeemed aren't faithful, but thank God the Redeemer is faithful. Amen. What a blessing. This is a beautiful picture of what Boaz did as he redeemed the life of Naomi and Ruth. I want you to notice just a few things and we'll go to the house. I want you to notice, first of all, there must be a request for redemption. There must be a request for redemption. The Bible said in chapter, I believe it's chapter number 3, that Naomi, or Ruth, went down under the floor, the threshing floor, and did according to all that her mother-in-law bade her. And when Boaz had eaten and drunk and his heart was merry, he went to lie down at the end of the heap of corn, and she came softly and uncovered his feet and laid her down. And it came to pass at midnight that the man was afraid and turned himself, and behold, a woman lay at his feet. And he said, "Who art thou?" And she answered, "I am Ruth, thine handmaid. Spread therefore thy skirt over thine handmaid, for thou art a near kinsman." You know what she said? She said, "I'm one of your relatives by marriage." Amen? She said, hey, you are my kinsman. I'm glad one day I knelt under a pine tree in that man's front yard or when the wee hours of the morning. And I said, "Jesus, you are my Redeemer. You are who you said you are. I've heard about you. I've sung about you. I drew pictures and colored about you when I was in Bible school. But Jesus, tonight, I acknowledge that you are my kinsman." Amen. Amen. "And there I made my request and asked him to be my Redeemer." Amen. Amen. Now, he died for me 2,000 years ago. But he wasn't yet my Redeemer until I requested it of him. Amen. Nobody is just automatically bought back, automatically born again. You've got to come to Him. Simple salvation message this morning. If you are saved, it ought to fire you up and get you excited because of what you know Christ has done for you. How many of you remember when you made that request? When you came before a holy God and said, "Would you forgive me of my sin?" You know what? I wasn't sure He would, Brother Jay. I really wasn't. Have you ever thought about that? How could somebody forgive me? How could He really? They sing that song, "Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so." How could He really love me? Because I know how vile I am and I know how wicked I am. But nevertheless, in my despair, when I realized I was lost and on my way to hell, I had to make my request. And you know what, Brother Freddie? He did not hesitate. You say, how do you know? Because instantly, all my guilt was gone. Everything, it was just lifted, it's gone. Have you ever experienced that? I know we don't base our salvation totally on a feeling. We base it on what God said in His Word. But thank God I can feel it. Amen. Thank God I knew when my sins were gone. I didn't have to say, now, am I really saved? No, man, I got it and I knew it. I got it and I knew it, brother. I mean, my sins were gone. Over. Redeemed. Amen. There must be a request for redemption. In chapter number 3 and verse number 11, Boaz said, "And now, my daughter, fear not. I will do to thee all that thou requirest. For all the city of my people doth know that thou art a virtuous woman." She made a request for redemption, and he granted that request. Amen. He granted that request. There is the request of redemption, but there is the assurance of redemption. Have you ever lost the assurance of your salvation? Have you ever doubted? I mean, sometimes we can't get unsaved. No. But you can get dirty and feel that way. Amen. You can get to a place where you just no longer feel saved anymore. Why? Because you've allowed all the junk back in your life and you just got to get cleaned up again. Amen. But I'm glad that we have assurance of salvation. I remember my daughter Ashley when she was younger. If her daddy preached on hell or she heard somebody else preach on hell, she'd cry herself to sleep and we'd take that little new convert book, you know, that, and we'd read that chapter together about the assurance of salvation, and we'd go over it and over it and over it and over it and over it, and just every time she just wasn't sure and she had to get that thing settled in her heart. Yeah. Amen. There is the assurance of redemption. Now, Ruth was assured of redemption by two things Boaz did. First, there was his promise. First, there was his promise. In chapter 3 and verse number 13, he said, "Tarry this night, and it shall be in the morning that if he will perform unto thee the part of a kinsman well, let him do the kinsman's part. But if he will not do the part of a kinsman to thee, then will I do the part of a kinsman. As the Lord liveth, lie down until the morning." Wow, what a promise. Did you know the Lord made you and I a promise? Yeah. Did you know the Lord made you and I a promise? He said, "If any man come to me, I'll in no wise cast him out." He said, "If you're thirsty, come. Let him take the water of life freely." He said, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Hey, thanks be unto God. I have the assurance from His own mouth that all I've got to do is ask and He will deliver. Amen?
Amen.
He'll do it. You say, "I don't know how many times I've had people say, I just don't know if the Lord really saved me. I don't know if He had really saved me." We've got His word on it. He didn't say, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved," as long as they hadn't done. There was no stipulation there. He said, "Whosoever will." That includes you. That includes me. That includes the wickedest man on death row in a prison cell somewhere this morning. Why do so many people get saved in jail? You ever thought about that?
Yeah.
I've heard people make fun of it and call it jailhouse religion.
Yes.
They've reached the end of themselves.
Right.
And they find themselves without hope.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Amen. And I wonder how many of them old prisoners, guilty, and they deserve to be where they are, but in their despair, ask the question in their heart, "I wonder if that God would save me. I wonder if that God would save me." Just like the maniac of Gadara who was in the tombs night and day, cut himself with stones when he ran out to the seashore early that morning and met Jesus. I wonder if it went through his mind. I wonder if this man will help me.
Yeah,
amen. Amen. We have the assurance of redemption by His promise. But then she was assured not only by His promise but by His provision. He didn't just talk a good game. Amen.
Yeah.
He didn't just make promises. I can make promises to you this morning. I can tell you anything in the world. I could make up something. I could do like some of them crazy TV preachers and say, "I am God." I don't even feel right. I could tell you all kind of stuff. I could make you all kind of promises. I could tell you I can walk on water. How many of you believe that? Brother Tony believes it. Amen. I could tell you anything, but I can't back it up. I can't do it. I mean, we could come and go through some religious ceremonies and I could say go and sin no more and all that, but it wouldn't do you any good. Why? Because I can promise, but I can't provide. Can I tell that to you one more time? I can make you promises, but I can't fulfill the provision for those promises. I can write you a check this morning for $1 million. Boy, y'all, business picking up now. I got everybody's attention. I can do that. I'd write a check for $1 million, but it won't be worth the paper it's wrote on. Had a fella came by the church one time years ago. Brother Charles will remember this. And his family's still in our church, so I'm not going to mention the guy's name. But he came by the church and he said, how much money you need? I said, what are you talking about? He said, I want to give the church some money. I said, cool. I don't get that too often, you know. He said, name the amount. It was when we were about to buy this place. And I forgot what I told him. It was something like $500,000. I mean, I believe it was $500,000. He said, name it. Sky's the limit. I said, $500,000. He grabbed the checkbook and started writing a check. I'm standing there shaking like you. I got that check and put that thing in my pocket. Well, I was excited. My cell phone rang, and it was one of our members on the other line. And they said, did you just get a check? I said, I did, man, $500,000. I just fixed it to call you. He said, do not go to the bank. He said, he's got off on a tangent. He's writing everybody in the family big old checks, but he ain't got a dime. You know what a check is? A check is a promissory note.
Yeah. Yeah. Come on, brother.
Do you understand that? Yeah. A check is a promissory note, just like a dollar bill is. They got to be gold somewhere to back that up.
Amen.
Amen. A check says, hey, I promise you that I've got the money to cover this.
Yes, brother.
It's a promissory note.
Amen. Amen.
That's why you go to jail for writing bad checks.
Yeah.
Why? Because you're not backing up the promise.
Yeah.
But I'm glad I'm serving one this morning who's still backing up his promise.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. He didn't just do it one time, but he does it every time. He didn't just do it one day, but hallelujah, he does it every day. Somebody get happy right there. Ain't you glad he didn't just forgive you one time? Yes, he promised. And yes, he provides, and 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 he, every single time.
Amen.
Not one time have I come crawling back and said, God, I'm sorry. Not one time has he said, nope, not this time, bud. If we confess our sin,
amen,
he's faithful and just to forgive us our sin. Ain't you glad?
Yes, yes.
In Ruth chapter 3 and verse number 16 or 15, Boaz said, bring the veil that thou hast upon thee and hold it. And when she held it, he measured 6 measures of barley and laid it on her. And she went into the city. He gave her a token, 6 measures or 24 gallons of barley, 88 pounds of barley. Now listen, I never thought about that until I studied this out, that 6 measures. When she left there, she knew she had something.
Yeah.
I mean, Ruth, she was a beautiful woman, so she could, you know, she wasn't no muscle-bound woman or nothing. You know what I'm saying? She probably just a little old frail girl. And he dumped 88 pounds of barley on her. He said, here's your token. In other words, here's my promise to you that I will back up what I say.
Yeah.
Ain't you glad when you got saved that the Lord put the Holy Spirit down on the inside? Amen. Aren't you glad that he gave that to us so that we could feel his presence, so that we could hear his voice, so that we could feel his touch? Hallelujah. You know what that Holy Ghost is? That's my token. Till he comes. Amen. Thank God for the power of the Holy Spirit. Baptists don't talk about the Holy Ghost much anymore. But we need him. We need him. We need him in these services. We need him not just in these services, but we need him in our lives. Amen. Thank God for the provision. Has the Lord provided for you? I mean, let's look past the nice clothes and the decent automobiles and the nice home. Let's look past the full bellies. What just about just the peace in our heart when we lay down on our pillow at night and we ain't got to feel guilty and we don't have to be afraid that if we died before morning, we'd bust hell wide open. I'm telling you, brother, that is a great provision.
Amen.
That girl went home at 88 pounds of barley and her mother-in-law freaked out, man. She said, where'd you get that? And she told her, she said, you go back there tomorrow.
Yeah.
Amen. People will see the Lord's provision in our life.
Yeah.
the people who love us will see the Lord's provision in our life. And they'll be glad. You may get on their nerves talking about the Lord all the time, but they'll be glad.
Amen.
And they may even want some of what you got. Amen. There is the assurance of redemption by His promise, and not only that, by His provision. But then there is some requirements that must be met for redemption. The Redeemer must be found worthy. The Redeemer must be found worthy. Boaz had to be worthy to redeem this girl. In other words, he had to be a near kinsman. Couldn't just anybody do it. It had to be somebody connected to that family. Hallelujah. Ain't you glad that the Lord is worthy? Revelation chapter 4 and verse number 11, the Bible said, "Thou art worthy." He is worthy to be our Savior. And none other is. No other name. No other name given among men whereby you must be saved. Why? Because He's the only one worthy. He's the only one worthy. You see, that's why He took on that body of flesh. So that He could become our near kinsman. Amen? Philippians chapter 2 and verse number 7. The Bible said, "But made Himself of no reputation, and took upon Him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men." John chapter 1 and verse number 14, the Bible said, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory. The glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace." Full of grace and truth. He literally became what I am so that I literally may become what He is. Can I tell you that again? That just feels good, don't it? I ain't what I ought to be. I ain't what I used to be. But I sure ain't what I'm going to be. Amen. I told Brother Charles this morning, my sinuses is bothering me a little bit, and I told him, I said, "I ain't going to get rid of this till I get to heaven." Amen. But when I get to heaven, I'll never have another sinus headache. Amen. Hallelujah. He became what I am. A human, a man, so that one day I can become what He is. You know what John said? John said, my mind just went totally blank. What did John say? "We shall be like Him." That's what I'm looking for. John said, "When He appears," I believe that's, here we go. "When He appears, we shall be like Him." Paul talked about that change, that transformation that's going to take place in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. This old flesh is going to go in the ground, and that spirit's going to come up, and there's going to be a brand new body likened unto His. Hallelujah. No more death, no more suffering, no more dying. Thank God, no more sin, no more heartache. It'll all be over. Why? Because we have a Redeemer.
Yes, sir.
Amen. He has to be found worthy. No way around it. I'm glad when that blood was placed on the mercy seat for me and you, it was found worthy. It was found worthy. I'm glad no longer do we need a priest to go in into the holy place and take a sacrifice of bulls and goats, try to appease God for our sin for another year.
Amen,
if that priest ain't right, when he goes in, God strike him dead. They tie a rope to him and have to pull him out, Brother Jay.
Yes.
Why? Because he wasn't worthy. He just wasn't worthy. See, that's why I don't let people confess their sin to me. I don't. Why? I'm not worthy. I can't do nothing about it.
Amen.
I can say shame on you. Don't do that no more.
Amen.
We love you anyway, but I can't forgive you.
Amen.
If you hurt me or something like that, I can forgive you for that. But I can't forgive you for what you've done against God.
Amen.
Why? I'm not worthy. There's one mediator, the Bible said, between God and man. And that's the man, Christ Jesus.
Right.
What I'm saying this morning is He is a worthy Redeemer. He's very worthy. Amen.
Amen.
Worthy is the Lamb that was slain.
Yes.
Thank God. Not only must this Redeemer or this near kinsman be found worthy, he must be found willing. He must be found willing. It's not enough that he's worthy. You know, God's worthy. And the Lord Jesus is worthy whether he ever saved us or not. If there had been no Calvary, no crucifixion, he'd still be worthy. But thank God he wasn't just worthy. He was, willing. I love that song Sister Janice used to sing, when he was on the cross, I was on his mind. In that song it says, he knew me, yet he loved me. Wow. He said, like a sheep before a shears is dumb, he opened not his mouth. Why? Because he was willing. He tried to tell his disciples, he said, the Son of Man must suffer. What he was saying is, I've got to pay your price. I've got to do this. The Bible said he set his face like a flint toward Calvary. He came to die. He was willing. Let me ask you a question this morning. Are you willing? Are you willing to accept what a worthy Redeemer has done for you? 19 years old, I'd heard about it all my life. I knew all the Bible stories frontwards and backwards. I could quote Scripture, but I never had accepted truly in my heart what he had done for me. And boy, you talk about something to humble you this morning. To think about somebody who would really die for you. Somebody who would really die for you. I told a story a while back about the little brother and sister. Little sister was very sick. She had to have a blood transfusion. Nobody in the family's blood matched but the little brother. The doctor set him down on the bed beside his sister and said, would you give your blood to your sister so she could live? Said the little boy sat for a minute. And finally he said yes. They hooked the thing up to draw the blood. The little boy looked up at the doctor with a big old tear running down his face. He said, when do I die? He was willing. He was willing to give his life for me. Now, you know, a lot of us say, you know, hey, I'd die for you. That's probably not true. That's probably not true. That sounds good, Brother Freddie, to say I'd die for you. But if they come in here with guns, I'm going to say shoot him. I'm just being honest. And he's going to be pointing back saying, no, shoot him. But Jesus was willing. Amen. He didn't hesitate.
Yeah. Amen, brother.
Mm. I'm sure Ruth was thrilled that Boaz was willing and worthy to be her kinsman redeemer. Wow. I was going to give you one more. I'll just throw it out here right quick and we're going to have the invitation. There's the result of redemption. The results of redemption. Well, what is all this about being saved? Well, a position is established. A position is established. Ruth is no longer a widow woman from Moab.
That's it, brother.
She's just become part of the lineage.
Hallelujah. Yeah, bro.
A position is established. The Moabites were looked down on.
Yeah, they were.
But now she... they put her right up there with... what was their names? The ladies in the city put her up there. Where is it at? I'll find it in a minute. Rachel and Leah. the mothers of Israel, they said. That's where she got elevated to.
Amen.
Just read Ephesians chapter 2 when you get home. We're no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens. A position has been established. That is the result of redemption. What? I'm no longer a sinner on my way to hell. I am a saint on my way to heaven. I am no longer a child of the devil, but a child of the King. Amen. That's why Jesus said, when you pray, pray, Father, which art in heaven. You know, nobody in here calls me daddy, but them three young'uns sitting right over there.
Amen. Yes, sir.
Nobody else calls me dad, and I hope they don't.
Amen.
Why? Because they're my children.
Yes.
I call him Father.
Yes.
Because I'm his child.
Yes, sir, bro.
My position has been established.
Yes, sir.
And you know what? That boy has right there has done some stupid stuff. Like that mess he's trying to grow on his face. No, I'm kidding. I like it, son. I'm just mad because I can't grow one. There's been days I've been upset with him. I used to have a, y'all don't call this in on me or nothing. That's probably past the, what do you call it, statute of limitations? Okay. They's just murder that there ain't no statute for. Is that right? I had a piece of plywood about that long cut into the shape of a paddle. It looked like a boat paddle. And I'd lay it to him, son. Oh, yeah. I'd get upset with him. Had to punish him. But not one day, not one time have I ever said, you're no longer my son.
Yeah.
Amen, brother.
Not one time. Why? That position was established.
Yes.
The day he was conceived. I've heard of parents disowning their child. You can't disown your child. You can't do it. Why? Because that blood's still flowing through their veins. Is that right? Ain't nothing you can do. Why? Because that position's been established. I wonder sometimes if my Redeemer don't say, whew, I regret that one. But I'm stuck with him, amen? Ooh. The position is established, but then the praise of the Redeemer is expressed. Amen? Ruth went home. Gave the glory for what Boaz had done in her life. When that position is established, we ought to praise him for it. Somebody said, y'all are just too loud in here. No, we're not loud enough. We're not loud enough. If this world can hoop and holler over cars going around in circles. Amen. Somebody told me the other day, and I know somebody's going to get really mad right here, but it'll do you good. I believe it was my little brother. I can't remember who it was. Said, do you know what Dale Earnhardt and The Who have in common? Their last great hit was The Wall. People get more excited. See, people got offended right there. People got NASCAR, man. They stand up in that place and scream bloody murder. The Braves. Y'all freak out if you came in here on Sunday morning and everybody was doing the Tommy Hawk chop. Or the Wave. We had that one time. Bunch of these idiots I pastor, amen. The world's praising people who don't even know who they are. Tell you what you try. You get home this afternoon, see if you can get Dale Earnhardt Jr. on the phone. Tell him you need some help. You know what he'll say? Who are you?
Yeah. Come on.
I'd rather praise somebody
sir, brother. Amen.
Who I can call on anytime.
That's right, brother. Amen.
And he knows who I am.
Yes, sir. Praise God. Yes, he does.
He knows my name. My name, he not only knows my name, the Bible says it's on his heart.
Yeah.
Mm. My kinsman redeemer.
Amen. Yes.
Have you accepted what he was willing to do for you? Have you trusted him as your Savior? Let's stand to our feet this morning.
Good preaching,
yeah. Well, Todd, if y'all would, y'all come and get us a song. Somebody may examine my life or yours and say, you know, I just don't really believe that person could be saved. You know, I feel the same way. I'm amazed myself when I think about it, but I am. Thank God for that kinsman redeemer. Let's bow our heads all over the house. We'll have a couple of verses of invitation. But before we sing this morning, let me ask you a question. Be real, real honest. Is he your Redeemer? Have you trusted him as your Savior? No doubt in your mind whatsoever. There's no way I could convince you that you're not saved. You know for sure. Would you slip up your hand? Preacher, I got it settled. Like Brother Charles said, that old account was settled long ago. Thank the Lord. Thank you for being honest. Now listen to me carefully. If you couldn't raise your hand this morning, I would love to have one of our ladies, one of our men, meet you right here in this altar with a Bible and show you right from the Word of God how you can be saved right here today, how you can accept what this worthy Redeemer was willing to pay. If you'll just be honest with God, I'm going to pray for you. And they're going to sing. I hope you'll come and do business with him this morning. Let's pray together. Father, as we come to you again this morning in Jesus' name, thank you, God, for a good day. Lord, thank you for a good spirit. Lord, thank you for being my Redeemer. Lord, thank you for buying me back when nobody else would. And Lord, I sure wasn't worth what you paid. Lord, I love you this morning. Lord, you saw the hands that were raised, and God, you saw those who couldn't lift them. Lord, let them know in their heart we're on their side this morning. Lord, we just want them to have the assurance that we have this morning. Lord, we want them to have that position established in their life that they're no longer a child of the devil, but a child of God. Father, please have your way in this invitation. Don't let anybody leave here today without you. And God, we'll thank you and we'll praise you for what you do. For it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.